There should be a handout on your seats, the Hope Hill 101, the Grow and Serve. So there should be a big pamphlet, regular sized piece of paper like this, has Hope Hill 101 on it. John started it either last week or the week before, and I'm going to try to finish it today. So we're going to be starting on page 7. That's where we're going to be. Hello. And we'll get to it. Pastor John is not feeling well. You wouldn't know it by him being up here, but the last couple nights he's been throwing up and his throat's killing him and all that. So I'm gonna be teaching this morning. And this is what we go through, the 101, with our membership class. And so you're basically getting to sit in our membership class as we get to finish it out. And what he just finished covering was habit one, which is Bible study and prayer. So we just went over the whole idea of Bible study and prayer. You know, as James tells us that we can't look into a mirror and not fix ourselves, right? That would be kind of silly, which is the same way it describes us as, you know, being into the Word and not just hearing it, but actually doing what it says. So that's how we kind of finished it up last time. So, page 7, if you need a pencil, if you need a handout, slip your hand up. We've got some of the ushers who can get that to you. If you need one of the handouts, pen or pencil, anything like that, we will do that. So, page 7, this is kind of the, you know, continuing part of habit 1, is that we want to look at how to begin a daily prayer time. So, Austin, are we good? It says talking with God, and we'll be at it. So, first blank there, top of page 7, the verse there, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. You know, another version says, pray without ceasing. That we should be in that attitude of prayer always. And so how we look to, you know, get a daily prayer time going is we follow a simple plan, right? That's how we like to do many things. If we want to do something, we follow a plan. So there's a simple plan that we want to start with there. That's the very first blank, top of page 7. It was up there, and now it is again. So bear with Austin and myself as we get through this, so it'll be good. One of the methods there, and there's many methods. Many of you have probably done prayer time, and you have different, you know, ways where you give requests or give thanksgiving or things like that. One of the methods here is the acrostic with ACTS, A-C-T-S. And the A is adoration, okay? We kind of start out with praying and giving Him worship. You know, we give Him our adoration. The C, the next one there, is confession. Okay, during our prayer time, as we're praying, again, this is just one plan. And if you have your own, if you have your own time, great. But if something new or just kind of, you know, to mix it up, you know, would be to do this model. The third one, T, is thanksgiving. If we actually thank Him and think about all that He's done, there's obviously tons. And then the S is supplication. And that's the idea of asking Him and saying, these are my needs. This is what's going on right now. And so we want to have that S for the supplication. So, you know, there's many times, you know, during my life, I've prayed using this model, starting out, God, you know, I love You. You're bigger than me. These are the things I've done wrong. These are the things I'm thankful for. And now these are the requests that I have. And it kind of gets us focused, not all about I just need these, you know, I just have these needs, but it's understanding who He is and, you know, kind of getting Him in that right reference. The next blank there as we go is spend time alone with God. There is an aspect that is needed for us as believers for us to be spending that time, you know, one-on-one with God. This is also important, us being together. And, you know, as we go through this, we're going to see it's obviously biblical for us to come together, for us to be in a group, for us to study the Word together, you know, in our community groups, men's groups, women's groups, all those things. But there's that time that we have to have that one-on-one time with Him. It says here, like any relationship in your life, knowing God will require some time and effort, but life can get busy. Lots of people want your time and attention, but God deserves the first and the best. There's a lot in Scripture about giving God first and giving God best, not giving Him leftovers. There's lots of that in Scripture, first and best. And God wants you to know Him. The goal is the beginning of a personal and intimate relationship with God. And all of you can relate to this. You have relationships with people, right? Mainly a spouse or a significant other. Maybe not. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a friend. If you never spent time one-on-one with that person and were just always in group settings, you wouldn't have that same deal, right? And the same way with God. He wants a relationship with us. If we're believers in Him, if we've trusted Him as our Savior, we have a relationship, we've got to spend that time praying to Him. And so that's why it is so important. I do want to pull up a video about prayer. I think Austin has that set for us. It kind of goes over what we're talking about as we look into prayer. So let's roll it. Just a good little kind of focus there, because I mean that's really the goal, is that He's much bigger than we are, and we obviously want to be talking to Him and praying to Him, but we want to have that right atmosphere there. So there's six suggestions there. There's no fill in the blanks about for us to kind of pray, to be reading our Bible, for us to be having that one-on-one time. And then there at the bottom, it's talking about the idea of us being consistent, and we all need this reminder. It says don't just taste it once a week. We don't eat one meal a week. I mean, maybe some of us should eat one meal a week. Like me, I eat wrong a lot, so it would be better if I ate less. But in general, I can't eat one time a week and then expect to be fine. And we were actually talking about this in our group, in our Tuesday night community group, is that in so many areas of life, like we understand that it takes time to practice to get good at something. Like, with the Olympics coming up, we understand that it takes lots of time for these people to get good. We wouldn't think that they would never practice and show up and just do well, or at music or at sport or anything. But for whatever reason, in our Christian life, we expect to not put much time into it, but to still be very spiritual or to still be growing a lot. And it's just different. It's like lots of us do that. We just don't put enough in, and we want to be further spiritually, but in all other areas, we understand that it just doesn't work that way. I mean, it takes time, and it takes us being consistent, same way that we want to be with our time with Him. Okay, next page. We'll go over to page 8 and get going there. We're going to start our habit 2. Okay, habit two, the first one, Bible study and prayer. This one is fellowship with other believers. And our Hope Hill purpose here is transform lives. Everything we do goes back to our mission. Everything we do is about glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world. So whenever we're trying to do anything, it's going to go back to our mission. That drives everything we do as we're trying to serve Him. So this is the idea of transforming lives, that we're not the same as we were, you know, because of us having time together. So Hebrews 10:25, verse, we've probably heard it lots before, says, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage each other." The idea is we should be together in church. We should be together in small groups. It's biblical for us to, you know, for us to be together, for us to, you know, have iron sharpening iron. God did not intend us to do life alone. The enemy wants to isolate us, makes us think that, you know, we can be alone, but, you know, that isn't his plan. So kind of, you know, get back to the middle of the page here. It says, how can a church grow larger yet maintain close friendships? Okay, because we are going to be growing. What we feel here, the blank there, is every member needs to be part of a community group. We have them all during the week. Even the class that John referenced during announcements that Tony and I are going to be teaching, we're doing that Sunday morning at 9:30. If it's hard for you to get here during the week, we feel everyone should be in a smaller group learning together, learning more about the Bible, having the relationships with each other. And at Hope Hill Church, next one here, we believe our church must grow larger and smaller at the same time. What do you think that means? Larger and smaller. Seems kind of weird, right? Seems to use both. Does anyone want to just give a shot? What do you think that means? Growing larger and smaller at the same time. Yes. Right. We want to disciple people. That's true. We want to be in the habit of planting other churches. That is absolutely true. That's our heartbeat. You know, anyone else? How we grow larger and smaller at the same time. Over here, yes. Right, grow in number, because look, we have grown in a year. Last week was 1 year. It has grown. There's more people here than there were. So if we only just had the large group and didn't have the smaller times, there wouldn't be that intimacy. It wouldn't be that getting close, that iron sharpening iron. So as we grow larger, we're going to have to keep getting smaller. Some groups that keep getting larger and larger, we're going to have to split and make smaller, because that's where we have that true growth. It's very biblical for there to be small groups together of men, of women, of, you know, couples, of families doing life together, so we can, you know, have that time of true growth. So the more we grow larger, also we're going to be growing smaller. So we're going to look at what are the purposes of us being in group. Okay, first one is to connect with God. That's the last blank on page 8. And many of you guys have probably heard this illustration before. We have to connect vertically first, okay? That's me vertically, that you know, all of us having that connection with God, having that, you know, vertical relationship. So that's number one, to connect with God. Next one on page 9, which we have up there, is to connect with others. That's the horizontal, right? But if I'm not connecting with God, or if you guys aren't connecting with God, right, then it's going to be much harder for us to connect horizontally. Because we have to have that right, you know, we have to be connected with God, growing, you know, having that relationship vertically for us to be able to do life horizontally right. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 is the verse listed here. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." The idea, He is connected with us. He's given us comfort. He's had all these things happen. The reason why He does it is so we can live out His character horizontally. We get that from Him. We get that unconditional love. We get, you know, learning and growing for the purpose of us giving it to others. You know, that's just the way it works. Our faith, us being Christians, Christianity is always one generation away from being extinct. And you guys may have heard this before. God didn't have a backup plan. Jesus didn't have a backup plan. He said, "Hey guys, you're my disciples. Go into all the world, spread the gospel, make disciples." If they wouldn't have done it, that's that one generation, right? Then it's over. Same for us now. If we don't do that, if we don't continue giving to others as God gives to us, then it's over. So it is always about getting from God vertically, giving to Him, giving to others horizontally. And the next blanks here on page 9 are opportunities, what we do in our groups. So the first blank there is Bible study, okay? And then these little, kind of quotes after each blank are taken out of Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. And the whole book of Acts is the Acts of the New Testament church, the Acts of the Holy Spirit, the Acts of the early church. So we want to model ourselves after the biblical model of a church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The early church devoted themselves to studying the Word. 2, fellowship. Okay? We normally do this very well. Lots of churches do this part very well. Into the fellowship, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, into the breaking of bread together. Okay? We have that down. We eat too much, right? Every church activity, right? There's like too much food. And being youth pastors forever, John has stayed more trim than I have, so go, John. But too much. I can't tell you the amount of pizza and cookies and candy, and it's gluttony. Actually, it's terrible. But we have that down. At least the whole eating part. But we do want that true fellowship together. Third one, prayer, which we already went over. Obviously, prayer, the importance of that. Fourth one is support. Okay, the verse here: they gave to anyone as he had need. Meeting together, being in a community of believers, being able to share it with each other when there is a need for us to be able to meet it. Ani sharing about the whole fire deal, and then Rob saying, you know what, we need to get that information so we can help meet those needs at a church level, but also in our different groups. I know many of our groups have heard about needs, been able to be there for each other, so we need to be able to give that support. Fifth one is praise. Okay. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. One of the ideas of meeting together is for us to be praising. And then the sixth blank there is outreach. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, the New Testament church, the early church, Acts 1:8, as it started, they were a mega church automatically. It was 3,000, that's probably just men. So we're talking at like 8,000 or 9,000 people then that started as God did this, but it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved because they were growing larger and smaller at the same time. They were meeting in homes. They were meeting, together, let's do worship together. It's great for us to sing and, for us to get the right idea of God, but then also for us to be, outreaching and then, getting more and more and more, and the Lord added to their number daily. So, show another video about us in groups, because all of our groups, what we have the philosophy is that there is an empty chair in every one of our groups, because as we're growing, again, growing larger, we need to have a spot for everyone. So if you feel like, there's just not a spot for me, or I don't have time, I'm just telling you, just give it a shot, okay? And we're going to watch this video, Empty Chair. Simple, but true, because all of us have people, as described there, and if it wasn't actually typed up there, maybe someone came to your mind of someone who could be in that empty chair. There's certainly empty chairs in here. We're always going to have an empty chair, here at church. We certainly want to be outreach oriented, but even into our groups, that there's always an empty chair or two chairs, obviously, for that growth to be happening. So hopefully that is a challenge to some of you who aren't in group to fill that empty chair, and those of you that are, to bring that person. Just ask them, because God could be doing something, again, in your lives through those people that are in your lives, that He wants to change. Next page, we're going to go to page 10. There are some community group ground rules that we see here. There's actually no fill in the blanks here, but we do try to go by these 10 things. We want to make our group a, priority. We want to have authenticity. All of these things, which I'm not going to go over each one of them, but we try to have good godly groups that we're able to be there for each other. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 through 13 says, "May the Lord make your love to grow and overflow to each other, so that you may stand before Him guiltless on that day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns with all those who belong to Him." And the idea that we have that love, that we're outreaching, that we're wanting to be bringing others in. If you aren't in a group, back at the back we have a list of our current groups that meet during the week. It says, you know, it says, I think it just, our community groups. It is front and back. If you can't find it back there, if we run out, go to our website. We've got all of them listed. And again, we are starting the class on Sunday mornings at 9:30. You know, if you can show up and just get in one there, we'd love to have you. Okay, we'll flip to page 11, habit 3. Okay, our third habit here is the idea of giving of ourself. Okay, habit 1, Bible study and prayer. Habit 2, being in, you know, the relationship with each other, doing the community groups. Habit 3, giving of ourselves. And the Hope Hill purpose here, again, all goes back to our mission, that we're on purpose, that we know what we're doing here, we're trying to honor Him, is this one is impacting the world. As we give, we are going to be able to impact the world. So, three areas of giving, okay? And many of you guys have heard this before. I think when I spoke a couple months ago, this is what I talked about. So it's just the way it works out. One, we want to give of our time. Okay, we all have time. And, you know, God wants, again, the principle here is the whole first and best. And there's no blank for that there. If you just want to kind of write it down next to the areas of giving, God wants our first and God wants our best. All through the Old Testament, when they had, you know, offerings to give, when they all, is their first and their best, because that's what we're wanting to honor God with. Okay, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. This is Ephesians 5, the idea that we want to give of our time. 2, give of our talents. We all have different talents, right? Some of us want to have other talents that we don't have, but we have been given talents, and we've been given spiritual gifts, and the body of Christ works. So us as a church works when we're using our gifts right, when we're all working together. And so that's the idea of our talents. The third one is giving of our treasure, the funds that we have, the resources that we have. And the deal with, you know, all three of these is that God wants all of them, okay? Because He wants our heart. It isn't about lots of giving. It isn't, you know, it's about Him wanting our heart, our first and best. Because if someone is very wealthy, okay, it may be very easy for them to tip God, which would be a large gift for, you know, many of us. So it might be very easy for us to give of our, you know, someone to give of their treasure and say, well, I don't really need to give of my time and my talents because I'm giving that. Well, that's not really our whole heart, right? Same thing is, you know, others. Some may be very, very talented. Okay, there's some people in here that are, you know, super talented. Andrew, I'll just point him out. He plays well, sings well, teaches well. He's got lots of talents. He can't only give of his talents, not give of his time, right? Others in here too, many students who are, you know, super talented, super outgoing, all these things, they can't just give of their time and then not give the others. So we need to understand God wants the, you know, whole deal, you know, for us to truly be missional and for us to be giving of ourselves. We do have one more video, and we can do that now because this kind of fits exactly to the idea of giving all of it as a missional church and really what that kind of wraps up into. So let's watch.
This is missional community. Simple. Bob is the owner of the local hobby shop and president of the Remote Control Airplane Club. Each Wednesday after work, the members of the Airplane Club get together to race, share in the joy of airplanes, compare designs, and to pass on the knowledge of model airplanes to their kids and grandkids. Bob goes to a church service with his sister on Christmas Eve and decides to become a Christian. He regularly attends Sunday services, finds his way into a small group, and joins the Wednesday night church gathering. He realizes that his commitment to church programs and his commitment to the Airplane Club are at odds. The church leadership empathizes with the situation but tell him it'd be better to attend the Wednesday program rather than spend time building airplanes. The church leadership also encourages Bob to get more involved in the church, leaving no time for airplanes. Bob agrees. Giving up a silly hobby will be his sacrifice for the Lord. Eventually, Bob's friends begin wondering what happened to him. In their minds, he was a critical part of the model airplane community. When they'd wander into his hobby shop, they'd ask, "What happened to you? We miss you." Bob begins to realize that he's becoming an outsider to all the conversations, significant or otherwise, that always unfolded during their Wednesdays together. Bob explains that he'd found something more important than model airplanes, and he even offers an invitation to the Wednesday night church meeting. Some of the airplane club try out his church because they respect and love Bob. But a lot of them decide not to go because they value the time together with family and friends on Wednesday evenings. After some time, Bob becomes a key leader in the church and hears his call to go and reach those people he knew from the club. Since giving up the regular meeting with the club, his interaction feels more difficult than he'd imagined. After all, Bob, their leader, left them for what seemed to be just another club on Wednesday evenings. Somewhat troubled, Bob decides to take a break from Wednesday night church gatherings and re-enter the world of model airplanes. Some in the church were deeply concerned for Bob's spiritual well-being. Others were disgruntled. Then someone asked the question, "What if we resourced Bob to be even more effective at building healthy community where he already is? Let's help him to better live out more of Jesus' heart for compassion, generosity, peace, and love among people that know him best. After all, Bob is the most likely access point for those people to encounter Jesus." The church agrees. Bob's church is now determined to help him follow Jesus and assist him in living out his faith in the community that had been built around him. Bob now sees both his dedication to his church and to the model airplane community as critical components in following Jesus.
Simple, great drawings as well, whoever did those. But it's also the whole picture that God is sovereign and that God has placed us where he's placed us. Sure, I mean, we've made choices and there's things that we have to understand, but, you know, only you can reach some of the people that you know, God has allowed to be in your lives, right? And so we understand how that is. What we want to be as a missional church, it is not about a building, certainly, because we're in a school, right? You know, I mean, we may get a building and we'll need a facility and all those things, but it is about us getting out there with the word, living on mission, which is the whole idea of this habit of giving of ourselves. Okay, we'll flip over to page 12. We got a few more. I think we will make it through here in just a few minutes. There are some benefits here of us giving of our time, our talents, and our treasure. One, okay, giving makes me become like God. And everything we do as Christians, even the definition of Christian is little Christs, that we're imitating him, we're wanting to be him. Giving makes us become like God. One of the most famous verses in all Scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." That's just one aspect. He's a giving God. And so when we give, it makes us like God. Okay? Two, giving draws me closer to God. Matthew 6:21, again another famous passage here, Jesus teaching, "Where your treasure is, there your heart is also." We can all look at that. We can understand that. Where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Three, giving is the antidote to materialism. Okay? If we're wrapped up into materialism, it is the antidote to it because we, again, get beyond us. That's perfect for this whole well project that we're doing with World Vision in the back with the hut. We're getting beyond ourselves. It's going to give us, it's that antidote to, you know, to our materialism. Four, giving strengthens my faith. Strengthens my faith. The verses here, I love it. Proverbs 3:5-9 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of your income and he will fill your barns to overflowing." A lot of first and best. Is a lot of it an aspect of trusting. When we give, it strengthens our faith because we understand, okay, God, I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work, but you are worthy, and you know, gets us more into faith. Five, giving is an investment in eternity. As we give to him, we as a church are wanting to see souls saved. We believe, again, going on the whole well project, giving clean water to a village may be that tool, may be that way for them to come to know Christ. They get water that they need, but hopefully they'll also find the living water through a World Vision, through other people. Once their needs get met, then they've kind of some, you know, credibility earned for someone to share the truth with them. And that's what we want to do always here, as we're going to be getting out as a missional church, as it's an investment into eternity. Next page, 13. Okay. Again, this is all about the heart. Okay, that's the first blank there. Giving, and again, not just finances. It's all three. Our time, our talents, our treasure. These things he's given to us want to give willingly of our time. Give willingly of our talents. Next one is cheerfully. It's the next blank there. It says God loves a cheerful giver. And there are times it's hard to get up, you know, to come at 8:30 to help set up. Giving of time, right? Many people do it. But we want more and more giving of that, having us all experiencing together as we're giving back cheerfully. Next one, give sacrificially of our talents. There may be sometimes you have to say no to doing something so you can help lead in children's ministry, or so you can help be in the worship team, or so you can help greet. You know, there may be that, you know, sacrifice there. And as well, give expectantly, okay? Give expectantly, understanding that we have that expectation that God is going to do things. He is going to show up. Next page, 14, we're going to get into our Hope Hill ministry teams, okay? Hope Hill ministry teams. At Hope Hill Church, this is top of page 14 now, okay? Sorry. The cord keeps... Anyway, sorry about that. We believe that every member is a minister. Do we have that? I know you're trying. I appreciate it. Okay? Every member, those of us Hope Hill, we believe every member is a minister. Okay? Every task is important. That's the second blank there at the top of 14. And every member is a 10 in some area. Okay? Again, he's given us these talents. He's given us, you know, what we have. And we are not 10s in every area. Me, for instance, I cannot sing. I cannot carry a tune. I wish that I could. I wished for years that I could sing. But I am not a 10 in singing. I perhaps am a negative 10 in singing. It's that bad. But, so because I can't sing, because when I sing, it's not making a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, at least anyone around me wouldn't think that. Maybe he does. But I'm able to play guitar. I'm able to play different guitars. And that's something that, you know, is a spiritual gift. I've worked on it. And so I'm able to give back worshiping. So I'm not going to try to sing because you all would leave, right? But I'm able to give something. And so all of you in the different, you know, ways that you're wired or in the different fields that you're a 10 there, and that's what God wants to use. We want people to be, you know, involved and to be doing things. We need more people with finance stuff, with, you know, maintenance of vehicles, all these things, I mean, random things that we need, but if we're all working together as the body of Christ, then, you know, we need to, you know, we are able to then do well. I mean, you know, does that make sense? All of us playing our part, all of us doing what we need, then we move forward together, and then we're able to use our gifts and abilities. The current Hope Hill ministry teams are kind of listed there. We also have half sheets back at the Get Plugged In table. I know many of you have just recently filled these out, and, you know, we are in the process of, you know, getting in touch with you and getting you plugged into these teams. All of these teams need help, okay? Because as we're growing more, we're having more needs. We need greeters. We need ushers. We need setup, teardown. We need nursery, children's, all these things. And all of these teams need help, and we want to get you plugged in. So if you've not filled one out recently, if you're not active serving, make sure that you know, stop by the back, fill it out, leave it back there with one of us, because we would love to get you plugged in. So, you know, what does it say now? What now? We need to plug in. So I'm going to just close real quick. Hope Hill Church, our mission, okay, is that we glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're wanting to do that relevantly. We're wanting to do that getting the word out. And I'll just use one example. This is a bottle of water, okay? Because we want to make sure at Hope Hill that you understand with the music or other stuff, we're not compromising the message ever. It's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It has never changed. So this is a bottle of water. This is the way that we carry water nowadays, right? This is, we all understand this. They did not use this years and years and years ago. They used gourds or camel skins or canteens or, I mean, you name it. Back in the day, right? not this. However, they were still carrying water. Now, maybe a little more purified now, right, with filtration, but it's still H2O. It is water. Same principle with us as we do this. Glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world in a way that the message never changes. The message is the same. Jesus Christ, as the only way to salvation, is through Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We're saved by grace only. We can't earn our way. That's the message never changing. But the methods always change. Does that make sense? There weren't plastic bottles then, but there are now. So there are guitars and amps and screens and all this stuff. So that's that now. So we want to use whatever we can to get the message out. The message will never change. Methods will always change as we're doing church. If this is kind of newer for some of you or not the same as old traditional, no knock on any of that, because it's the same message. It's the same Bible. The Bible is inerrant and it hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. If you bow your heads and close your eyes. Just take some time thinking about, today. I know we went through lots of blanks and had lots of different things, but maybe God spoke. Maybe through the empty chair video, through the missional video, through one simple blank. And saying, God, I need to do this. I need to give more of my time. I need to give more of my resources. I need to get in a community group. I need to pray more. It could be many things, could be one thing. And just spend some time right now seeking Him and saying, God, I want to be more like You. Just spend some time. We're going to have a quiet just for a little bit as you're praying, and then we're going to continue in our worship. So just have it quiet, and just you respond to God of just however He spoke to you this morning.